Hey, everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire.
This is my friend Jeff. Jeff has 50 saxophone mouthpieces.
That's probably about true. It's sad. And I've just recently learned that James has about 50 heads of cabbage in his garden, so he's been busy.
Yeah, I went a little overboard, I think, this year. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Well, 50 mouthpieces. Yeah, we could argue 50 mouthpieces might be overboard, too. All right. Well, you guys, what we want to talk about today is, I had this idea of talking about craft versus creation. This is something that I'm really interested in. I've read books on this, and I corner my my favorite musicians, pros, anywhere, and I love talking about this idea. And so I am cornering James on the internet here, and I want to know what he thinks about this. And what I'm wondering about is there's a craft to being a musician, just like there's a craft to being an actor or a professional golfer or something like that. There's craft to it. But then there's that creative part, right, that we all prize. And so I'm always very interested in which we depend on, or should we be leaning on one or the other? Or does a jazz musician need the craft part? Is it all creativity? When James and I play, is it the muse speaking through us the whole time? James, what do you think about this?
I thought a lot about this, especially when I'm working with students, and I take a pretty hard line about this sort of a thing. I'm not going to wait for the muse to speak to me. Otherwise, I would have been silent for the last 41 years. Sometimes I think there's something wrong with me. I joke around a lot, and people are like, "You're a jazz musician. You must be really creative." I'm like, "Look, man, I play bebop. I'm just trying to play the pretty notes, man." So I definitely lean way far towards the craft end of this rather than the creation or creativity end of it. So,
yeah. Wow. Well, that's interesting. So I didn't know what you were going to answer, but I must say I'm not surprised, because I'm going to say 9 out of 10 jazz musicians I talk to have this answer. And that's an official that's a made up statistic now, but it's about right. When I talk to folks and when I hear people play, I can hear the craft. I can hear the things they've practiced. I can hear the history in their playing. So yeah, I totally agree that working on craft. Now, this is interesting because James said, you know, he thinks about this a lot relative to talking to students and teaching and everything like that. So it's interesting that if craft is such a big deal, it's not too far a leap to realize that this is learnable and teachable, right? If this is all about being a special human being with a direct line to God, that's trickier, right? Because, oh man, well, maybe my line isn't so good, or maybe I misbehaved a little bit, or what, right? And maybe those things are true, so check yourself out. However, when we can rely on craft, when we can learn a technique and practice it and get better at it and play it, then okay, that's teachable, that's learnable. And of course, that's what I do all day long on Jazzwire, right? I would love for you guys to come in and do a free limited look around, free limited trial of Jazzwire. Come and peek behind the screen and see what we're doing. Hundreds of adult students from around the country. So if you go to this link, you can come in, no credit card, no nothing like that. Come in for a week and look around at what I'm talking about. And so we're talking a lot about craft. Sure, we talk about creativity, and I want to talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to put James on the spot. So James, can you play us something that, I don't know how to put it, that you've practiced, maybe it sounds impressive, maybe it sounds emotive, maybe it sounds, you know, that kind of stuff, but it's something you've worked on.
Yeah, I can do that, Jeff. I think what I'll do is I'll just play a line that I know I probably play a lot. Like I hear this in my own playing a lot. So I obviously got it from somewhere and shattered it at some point, right? So I mean, I'm sure I...
Right, and so
cool,
you just...
I played it kind of twice.
Yeah, exactly. So probably the muse didn't say the same thing twice, because she's the muse and she's more creative than that, right?
Right, right.
So the fact that you can do that, that's something you've worked out. You practice it. I can hear all that insane articulation you're doing. Right? So not only what you played, but how you played it. Okay. So I want the people listening this to realize we're giving you permission to repeat yourself, to work on something, to spend 20 hours on one lick, because it's going to serve you forever, forever, forever. So, yeah. And we all have, you know, those sorts of little licks and lines. Here's something I was practicing today. A whole tone lick. And, you know, there's a couple whole tone things I've been working on. And when I play that at the right moment, at the right time, with the right intensity, it's like, oh man, that is such a cool thing. And people think mm-hmm. I came up with it, that somehow I invented it, that I'm emoting. Not really. I mean, I'm emoting in the sense that I mean it when I play it. But the craft part is so much what we need to pay attention to. So it sounds like we're on the same page with that.
I think we are. And I think what I always try to encourage my students to do, in addition to what you're saying, like give yourself permission to repeat yourself. And I also think you kind of have to unburden yourself a little bit from always feeling like you have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. I mean, we're using lots of metaphors when we talk about playing and teaching this music, because words fall short a lot of the time, right? Mm-hmm. But we talk a lot about, you know, always be pushing, always try to sound like yourself, and always be coming up with something new. And look, there are players that I get to play with that I do hear new stuff out of their horns and instruments a lot. It may not be totally new material, but the way in which they put that stuff together is new. I get to play with one of the greatest drummers on the planet almost every week, the great Pittsburgher Roger Humphreys. And man, I've been playing with Roger for 20 years at this point. And yeah, there are lots of nights where it's like, yeah, I've heard him play that. It's still bad. It's still killing. But it's like, yep, there's Roger. Yep, there's Roger. But every night, at least once a night, there'll be something and we'll look around and go, I've never heard him play that before.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, it's the muse is real as much as I say it's not.
And so now
it's real.
Well, I'm with you. So now let's talk about that. So you and I agree that the craft and front loading the craft is how anybody, the least talented, gifted person on earth, can learn to play some bebop. I firmly believe that, because I've been doing that day in, day out for years, getting people of all starting points there. Cool. So now we should talk about creativity, right? I mean, that is kind of what improvisation is about. So here's something that I learned from Tim Higgins, somebody that it turns out we both studied with a little bit, even though I didn't know that before we started this show. So, so one thing Tim would have me do is play a note and now hear the next note. So I'm going to play a note. Here's the first note of my concerto for you.
All right.
And now, I actually played that note twice because I heard that. That wasn't a lick or craft. I heard myself want to play that note, then rearticulate it. So now, what comes next? Not a lick, I know. Don't rely on the craft. Don't rely on the whole tone lick. Don't rely on that bird lick. What comes next? Is it higher or lower? I hear lower, and I'm not measuring intervals, but I'm hearing lower by a fair amount. What comes next? I hear a number of notes going up kind of quickly. That's what I was hearing in my head. So it's like transcribing what's in your head. It doesn't need to sound like jazz. I'm going to say it shouldn't sound like jazz. It may sound like 20th century classical music. But this idea of don't play something till you hear it. Now, it might be you hear an exact pitch. I actually don't think in exact pitches so much, which sounds weird. I think in shapes and textures.
Yeah. I can dig that.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, do that. So Tim Higgins had me do that for half an hour a day with no break for 2 years, 7 days a week, half an hour a day. And the exercise developed and developed. So I've helped people do this exercise for a year and develop it into some incredible stuff. So that is a way. So it's actually the exact opposite of the craft. That's where I'm not allowing the craft to influence any of my decisions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I've never done anything like that. And isn't that interesting that I took a handful of lessons from Tim in grad school at UArts, and he never did that with me.
Interesting.
Isn't that cool?
I think
right?
What it means.
Yeah.
Do you think that he liked me better? I feel like that's probably what it means.
I think we're gonna have to get him on the phone and find out. But yeah,
right.
I think that's probably a safe bet.
Tim Hicks.
Yeah.
No, he was teaching you the real stuff, and he was just giving me this like touchy feely hippie business.
I think it's cool, and I'm gonna try it because the closest I've ever come to.
You are gonna try it right now. Here we go. So we're going to play a couple phrases.
Okay.
We're going to play a couple phrases back and forth. It can be in time
or
not.
Cool.
I'll say something to you. You say something back to me.
All right, I'm down.
Right? And you know what? We fooled all these like YouTube people into listening to like free jazz, which is awesome. See? we tricked them. No. So now that is a blast to do because I was talking to James, not in prefab sentences, the craft part. You know, it would be like, hey, James, great day. Yes, it's a nice day. Sunny outside. You know, all the sort of BS stuff we get to. We were talking to each other at a level where we were learning something about each other. So to me, that was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was truly creative. And now what Tim Higgins would say to me is the moment you notice you're in a key, stop it.
He did say that to me. Yep.
The moment you notice you're playing that old diminished lick, stop it. The moment you notice you're playing an E minor 7, just stop it. And his point was, that is not the muse. That is some old BS in the back of your head. BS meaning our language, our craft, right? But the point is to get past it. So here's the thing. Every day, everybody out there that's watching this, every day work on your craft. And every day do this for 5 minutes. For five minutes
is a good number for this. Mm-hmm.
It is. Play a concerto that lasts for 5 minutes. Don't stop. Don't let yourself off the hook. The first note you play is the beginning of a five-note concerto. It can get fast. It can get slow. It can get in time. It can be out of time. Yes. So this idea of craft versus creation, I think we need both, but I think James and I also agree that the craft part is kind of where it's at.
Price of admission.
I like it.
That's where it is.
Fantastic,
well,
man.
And here's the thing, Jeff, based on some of the things we talked about last week at the beginning of the episode, I think there's a lot to be said for this craft idea. And but balancing that with finding the muse, being creative, and at the end of the day, you could win a major award.
Oh my God. There it is.
If you
tuned in last week, you learned that, that James has this major award, the leg lamp from Christmas Story.
Here it is. So here's your major award, jazz fans, waiting for you at the end of this lovely rainbow. Except you can't have mine. It actually belongs to my father. But get your own. It's great.
You told me your dad's a little bit like the old man in the show. So yeah, you want to stay on his good side. Oh my God. There's nothing more to be said. I think we got to leave it right there with the leg lamp. You guys, craft, creation, you need a little bit of each. And I would love to see you inside Jazzwire. So make sure you come on in and we can talk about all of this stuff together. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out, everybody.